This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is The Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. So you're in the market for a new home, but the numbers are a little tough to swallow. The average 30-year fixed mortgage increased from about 3% to about 6% over the last 18 months, and the supply of available homes remains tight. And in an expensive market like D.C., can you afford to put 20% down? Is the American dream of home ownership in D.C. possible, or is it a pipe dream? Well, joining me to talk about this are Colleen Green, director of the D.C. Department of Housing and Community Development, and Ronald Clarkson, director of communications for Housing Counseling Services Incorporated. If you have a comment, if you have a question, if you're trying to buy a house in D.C., your first, or maybe you want to level up, or maybe you want to bring it down a little bit. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Colleen, Ronald, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Okay, so Colleen, let me ask you this, because we know that D.C.'s housing market is one of the hottest in the country. No question about that. But D.C. also remains one of the most expensive places to live, whether it's buying or even renting. How does someone buy a home in D.C. considering the numbers I just shared?
Well, there are several ways to buy a home, but the first one is to prepare yourself to buy a home, right? Make sure that you have good credit, make sure you have savings in your pocket so that you're able to contribute to closing costs and down payment assistance. Shop and work with different lenders, go to housing counseling services, working with different housing counselors to make sure you understand what it is to be a homeowner. So those are some of the major ways. You can also go through one of our programs that teach you how to be or help you become eligible for some of the down payment assistance programs that is offered by the District of Columbia as well. The district also does preservation and production of affordable housing. So, you know, look at dchousingsearch.org for homes that are coming up in our pipeline that you might be eligible for.
Preservation and
production.
What is preservation and production?
So production means that we are building new housing. So we'll partner with developers and community organizations to develop housing. That's production. So new housing. And the mayor has a bold goal of 12,000 new affordable housing units by 2025. Mm-hmm. And we're about 60, almost 70% of the way there to that goal. So we're developing and building new housing product that people can access to buy and or rent that is affordable. And also for preservation, we try to make sure that the existing homes that are out there that are considered affordable remain affordable for the next generation or for another person for a longer period of time. Maybe they're in disrepair, they remain habitable. We do what we can to preserve the housing stock that is already affordable.
Define affordable in D.C. for home ownership.
So generally, we look at 80% of MFI or below for home ownership. So people that are sort of between 50 and 80%, that's a target for affordability for home ownership.
Mm-hmm. You know, Ron, Colleen was just talking about preparing yourself for home ownership, whether you are a first-time homeowner or whether it's not your first rodeo. Can you drill down a little bit more on what that exactly means when, you know, for a lot of people, you have these huge dreams of what you may want, but the reality is a little more difficult to stomach?
Yes, and I appreciate the opportunity to address that, because preparation is the watchword, as the director said. Basically, what we're talking about from my perspective as a housing counselor is making sure that people not get pulled into the emotional side so much of home buying. It is an emotional process, I recognize that. But we ask that people try to first assess their circumstances financially, making sure that they're prepared educationally as well about the market. And then once they have that picture, the reality of what really is going on, not only with the market, but with themselves financially, then they can go about trying to purchase a home in a more measured way to make sure they're targeting something that they can actually afford. When people go at it emotionally, sometimes they get in over their heads. A lot of us like to immediately jump on the internet and start searching for these nice homes, and we become emotionally engaged with something that we see that looks beautiful, and we make that our dream. Unfortunately, that can be a bit out of our reach sometimes financially. And so I encourage people to slow down on that and first do a real financial analysis and understand where they stand. And counselors can help with that. And there are many counseling agencies here in the District of Columbia, and we can definitely help people, and they don't have to pay for that service.
Talk to me about that financial assessment, that personal financial assessment. What does it look like?
Let's see. Basically, you're looking at, in our world, we do it on a spreadsheet, but a person can sit down at their kitchen table, take a piece of paper, maybe divide it in half, and on one side, look at the income, on another side, look at the expenses, and estimate what they're spending right now on everything. Because your banks are not going to look at everything. You know, they're going to look at your loan debts and your income and what have you, but they're not going to be looking at whether or not you come home with a bigger grocery bill or whether you're spending more or less on transportation. You know, they're not looking at those things. You have to take all of those bits of reality into account and then make a determination as to how much you can set aside towards housing. If a person can keep their housing expense at around 41% of their gross income, then that's a range that we feel can be a person can live with, okay? But try to keep those kinds of numbers in mind and focus on the numbers first. But yes, it could be as simple as that. There are, of course, samples of different spreadsheets and things and financial analysis, budget worksheets on the internet a person can download. But just take a piece of paper, divide it in half, look at an income, look at expenses, and be honest. That's the other aspect to it. You have to be honest with yourself. It's nice to say, oh, this month I'm going to save $2,000. But is that reality? Is that something that a person can really do? Maybe if they look at the numbers, they can say, you know what, actually, I can save maybe another $100. And my path might be a little longer, but it'll be something that'll be more beneficial in the end if they do it that way.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about home ownership in D.C. Whether you're a first-time homeowner and you want to get in on the game, or whether or not you've done it before and want to make a change in your home ownership status. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me go to the phone lines real quick. Is this C calling from Maryland? Is that the correct pronunciation? C-R-S-C-E? Are you
there? Hey, Harold T. Yes. Hi, this is C.
Okay. I'm fine, thank you. So what's on your mind?
Great topic. I'm calling in regards to Baltimore because I live in Baltimore and I'm going to be a first-time home buyer. Your lovely guest said MFI, and I don't know what that means, and I was hoping that she could expound on that. MFI.
Well, let's be clear. Even though you're in Baltimore and she represents the District of Columbia, however, I will let her take a shot at it, and maybe Ronald may be able to assist you. But please, Colleen, go right ahead.
I'm sorry, I should have described that before. It means median family income. So there's a family income average that is set by HUD, which is the Housing and Urban Development. And if you are 80% of that, you can, you know, that's what I'm saying. Your income would be in that range.
Okay.
If I may.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm really intrigued by the terminology, and I'm learning. I want to learn everything that I can. So I appreciate you taking the time to break that down for me.
And there's also another nomenclature that you may be familiar with, which is area median income. So it's sort of two sides of the same coin in some
right.
respects.
But if I may, on the median family income, and because you're in Baltimore, this is interesting, the numbers that are used for the District of Columbia include the geographical area ranging from D.C. up to Baltimore, all the counties that surround both cities and in between. So HUD uses that as a statistical area to generate the MFI. So the MFI that applies to us is indeed going to apply to you up in Baltimore as well.
Mm-hmm. And one more thing, see, while we are specifically talking about programs that are in Washington, D.C., Baltimore City has its own Buy in Baltimore program, as well as the state of Maryland, just about any state, to be quite honest, they will have housing assistance programs. You just have to go onto the individual state websites. Some may be more generous than others, and there obviously may be some qualifications that you would have to fit. But even if you're not in D.C., wherever you happen to be, whether it's a municipality or state government, there are programs for you. But thank you so much for giving us a call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk, Colleen, a little bit about what it takes to buy a home in D.C. And also specifically, you know, the programs. I mean, let's be honest. And I have, friends who, who live in D.C. and they were fortunate to get in, but once they want to, take a step up and increase the size of their home, move to a different neighborhood, that's not something that happens overnight.
No, it's not. And I think that one of the things that Ron mentioned was, 41% of your gross income. Now, that's still quite a lot, right? You want to live, you want to save. So if you want to do 41%, it's probably better to do something much lower than that, like 38%, 35%. That's more of a, I would say, a comfortable place to live, grow, and save. So I would suggest doing that and saving to do that. So when you buy a home, your home will increase in value, hopefully. And that value you can use as equity to buy into another home. But again, you still have to think about what you can spend. So when you that equity can become your savings or your down payment that you, grew into to buy into a bigger home. So that's the good thing, that you can have a small home or a starter home, stay in that home, get equity, get ready. The equity will be available for you to roll over into another home. That's a way a lot of people do that.
Before,
but make sure your credit works.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that credit issue also, because I think that for a lot of people, that's a challenge for them. But before we go into a break, where can people get some of the information from the D.C. Department of Housing and Community Development? For example, online, we are going to continue to talk about these things, but what can they find?
DHCD.DC.gov.
Again, please.
DHCD.DC.gov.
DHCD.DC.gov.
And there's also another website that I would refer people to, which is frontdoor.gov. And that provides all of the home ownership assistance that is offered throughout the government, not just at DHCD.
And Ron, the website to your organization as well.
Yes, our website is housing, followed by ETC, like et cetera, .org.
Housing.
ETC. .org.
Okay, we're going to make sure that that information is on our website on whur.com, as it is every day with our podcast after 8:30. Angela calling from D.C. Crystal, Stacey Ann, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. Your phone calls and more information about buying a home in D.C. are next. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Is the American dream of homeownership possible in D.C., or is it a pipe dream? We continue our conversation tonight with Colleen Green, Director of the D.C. Department of Housing and Community Development, and Ronald Clarkson, Director of Communications for Housing Counseling Services, Incorporated. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Crystal, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Crystal. What's on your mind?
Hi, yes. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling because, you know, I'm a third-generation D.C. resident, and I would love for my daughters to also be able to purchase in D.C. And, you know, as we look through, they're both just graduated from, they got their undergraduate degree, so they're in entry-level jobs. But when we look at some of the housing developments, I thought that there was supposed to be a certain portion of the new developments that was set aside for people with lower income. Is that still the case? And how do you find out about these? Because you only see the price advertised, usually it's $600,000 to $800,000. Are there still portions of those developments that are set aside for people who are lower income? And how do you access that information?
Right, yes. Yeah. So there are developments that are funded by the district's Housing Production Trust Fund primarily, or other government resources. And though where we contribute to development, we are looking for developers that partner with us to provide affordable housing to people that are 80% of AMI or below. A lot of the homes that we do develop are listed on the dchousingsearch.org. And I would also, you know, look in the paper, look at different websites of developers that we work with, look in the pipeline that DC provides and see what's up and coming and when they're completed, and keep up with when you might be able to put an application out. Also, some of the housing counseling groups, not housing counseling services only, but community-based organizations often work with the developers and marketing homes that are available, that are affordable. So I would link up with some of those community-based organizations because they provide, you know, marketing resources, and they tend to know where the affordable housing is going to be built.
Okay. Crystal, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Angela, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. So I had went through the Home Purchase Assistance Program, basically known as HPAP. I'm a mom of one, a divorcee. I think that people have to be realistic. I rented on and off for over a decade in the Randall Highlands neighborhood, but could not afford purchase. Like I said, a mother with one child, and just under $80,000 when I purchased my home, and I ended up purchasing in the Capitol View neighborhood. I had to do move-in ready because I didn't want to throw out a lot of money getting a lot of repairs or trying to fix up a house. But I do want to encourage people to, like, get a house when you know you're ready and you're committed. There's a lot of pressure, societal pressure, parental pressure, and to make it seem like, you know, everybody needs to own a home. I didn't purchase my first home until I was in my early 40s. You have to make that decision for yourself. I had good credit, had a good job, but like, you know, your guest said, you have to also be able to assess your situation. I did my research to find out what were the utility costs going to be, and also making sure that I had money for anything that may break down in the house when I got in the house, and that I could afford to stay in the house. So just because you have good credit, you may have a decent cushion, don't fall into that pressure that everybody is saying you want to. There's other ways to build that black wealth. It doesn't just have to be through home ownership.
Angela, thank you so much for your comment. Your thoughts about what she was just saying, Ron?
I think what she said is very valid. Everybody has to do what's right for them. Everybody's situation is very different. And for some, it might be an opportunity to purchase a home right away. Others may need to take their time, build their savings, work on their credit, things like that. Then look at purchasing later on. But it's not going to be the same for everybody. It's all individual.
I want to talk about credit in a bit. But Colleen, let's talk about some of the programs that are available in the district. Kind of what kind of help is available? What does it look like?
Well, regarding homeownership in particular, we have the HPAP program, which is a home purchase assistance program that provides down payment assistance. We also have the single family rehab program. So if you are in a home that needs repairs or needs a roof repair, you've been in there for a while, you can apply for our single family rehab program. We also will be launching the heirs property program. People don't think about what will they do with their house when they're gone, how will they leave a legacy. So the heirs program will be launching soon, and that will help people kind of deal with probate and will so that they can pass on their homes to the next generation in their family.
Let's kind of go through these one at a time and give us some detail. So take us through the HPAP program. How does that work?
Okay. So with the HPAP program, you would have to work with one of the community-based organizations like Housing Counseling Services and go through a training. After you go through that training, which teaches you financial literacy, you know, all the details about owning a home, you will get a certificate called a Notice of Eligibility. With that Notice of Eligibility, you can go and shop, you know, for a home based on what you can afford after you've been through that housing counseling service. Get your lender approval and figure out what the amount of the home is based on what you can afford. And you shop that. And then once you get that, you can put in a sales contract based on their down payment assistance and what your first trust lender will give you and buy the home.
Down payment assistance. Mm-hmm. Explain that, please.
Well, HPAP will give you up to $202,000, depending on your income level, to help you with down payment. A down payment is required usually is equity in the home along with your first trust. So that's everyone's supposed to put in some cash to get their home. The lender's not paying for everything. They want you to have skin in the game, so to speak. So for those of people that may not have as much cash available to them, the government will come in with down payment assistance through HPAP. We have provided 460 homeowners this year with help in buying a home, totaling a total of about $67 million.
You said $200,000?
Up to $202,000, and that was a new initiative that the mayor put into place this year to help, you know, people at the lowest levels of income possible buy a home.
So how does someone qualify for $202,000? And you said they've got to have some skin in the game. So are we talking about knuckle skin? Are we talking about sidewalk, you know, skin, you know, knee skin?
Well, HPAP is the assistance with the skin that you're supposed to put in. So you also, everyone's supposed to put in at least $500 of their own money, up to 50% of any liquid assets that they have. So that's their own. And then if you need more assistance to buy a home that you would like based on your income level, then I'll let Ron talk about more of those specifics because he deals with that every day. Then we can get the HPAP money to help you bridge the gap of getting the home that you want.
Does it depend on the cost of the home as well?
Yes, it does depend on the cost, what you're able to afford, what you qualified for based on your area median income and your household size, what you can contribute, and what the lender is willing to lend you to buy the home.
Yep, it's gap financing. So they,
now what is gap financing?
Basically, a person
skin in the game.
Yeah.
Knee skin.
Well, a couple of things. One is that, yes, your lender will qualify you for a certain amount. And HPAP will deem you as eligible for a certain amount. But you'll only receive as much HPAP assistance as you need in order to purchase your home. And so you're going to have to contribute the full amount from the lender in addition to an amount that HPAP will provide up to the level that you're eligible for. Not everybody's going to be eligible for $202,000. But whatever you are eligible for, that's the maximum you can receive. But in general, people need less than that in order to actually purchase. And so they'll receive the amount they need up to what they're eligible for in the form of gap financing. And with respect to the skin in the game, mm-hmm. basically what we're talking about with HPAP is a person has to provide 50% of their liquid assets above $3,000. So the city is basically telling you, hold on to that at least $3,000, okay, but you're going to contribute 50% of your other liquid assets, towards your purchase. You're going to invest that.
What do you mean by 50% of your other liquid assets?
Well, what we're talking about is checking, savings, CDs, money market, anything that can be turned into cash quickly. And generally thinking about within 24 to 48 hours. And so anything that's liquid in that respect that is going to be considered. And so any amount over $3,000, okay, you look at that total amount and then you divide that by two. So you have to contribute at least at a minimum, half of that amount above $3,000. And so,
complicated.
That's what counselors are here for. We help work that through. And that's the amount a person would have to invest in their purchase. So they really do have a stake in that purchase.
You mentioned also...
And if you're less than $3,000, you have to contribute at least $500.
Right. At a minimum.
The other program, single...
Family rehab program.
Explain that, please.
So that's a program that, again, you have to be within the income levels, 80% and below. But if you need a roof repair or maybe you need a ramp because you become disabled or some electrical repair and you can't afford everything that you need to be repaired to live in a safe and habitable home, you can apply for a grant to help you do the repairs in your home.
Now that's for preservation, not purchase.
No, that's for preservation once you've purchased.
Okay. And you also mentioned a third assistance program.
The ARES program, and that's for wealth planning and generational planning. So once I'm older or even now, if I have a child or a parent or a cousin, sister, brother that I want to leave my house to, I can plan to leave my house to my heirs so that it doesn't go to the government or doesn't go into default or I'm not forced to sell it to someone that I don't know.
How does that work? Because, I lost my parents and they lived in the District mm-hmm. of Columbia last year. And there was initially no will for my father. Before my stepmother passed, there was a will for her. So we were able to sell the house to family. But for those who did not have the muscular effort that the family had to make that happen, how does that ARES program work? Run that down for
us,
please.
So it's a new program, so the particulars are being worked out, but there will be two organizations that will do outreach for people that are interested in this program. And what they'll do is work with you to go through probate, or if it's in probate, work and negotiate things with your family if someone has passed away, or put a will in place for someone that has planning.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about home buying in the District of Columbia. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. So, Ron, let's kind of talk about that come to Jesus conversation in counseling, because earlier we were talking about champagne dreams on beer money. Mm-hmm. And so let's first talk about,
we could call those goals.
Hashtag goals. Yes, absolutely. Lofty goals. No question about that. Let's first talk about credit, because credit is really a funny thing. And you have three kinds of credit numbers and the like, and that can be a little confusing for some people also.
Yeah. Well, we focus on three major credit reporting bureaus, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. And basically what we're looking at is the median score, if you will. And You know, I know that takes us back to high school math when we use words like median. What we're talking about is the middle score. And so you want to toss out that high score, toss out that low score, and the one score that remains is the score that we want to look at and focus on. And in general, that's where it starts. And then and getting access to that is important as well. So people want to take advantage of the free opportunity to look at their credit reports by going to annualcreditreport.com. Again, that's annualcreditreport.com. It's a website that was set up after Congress mandated that all Americans should have an opportunity to review their credit reports at least once every 12 months. And so everybody has that opportunity. Yes, you have to jump through some hoops in terms of your identification and all of that. They want to make sure they're releasing the information to the right person. But once you get access, you can see your credit reports, look at the detailed information there. Now, you're not going to immediately get access to your score. That's something that you will eventually have to pay for if you want that. But at least you can look at your reports, see what's there, and make sure that the information is correct. And then if there are mistakes, because there may well be, one out of every four credit reports has a mistake on it, okay? And so do take the time to go over it and make sure that it is correct. And if there are problems, get those things straightened out. If you have some things that you may have forgotten about over years or what have you, deal with them, contact those creditors, because their contact information will be on the report, and establish some type of a relationship with them so that you can work those things out. And many creditors are working with people these days, especially now that we've kind of come out of the pandemic. There were a lot of creditors working with people to try to make sure that they were able to get through it in a way that was not too harmful to them over the long haul. And it doesn't cost you anything, and there's no impact to your score to look at it yourself.
A lot of people have the lofty goals of an 850 credit report. And some of those lofts are unaffordable. But what is the lowest credit score that you believe is allowable to start... To seriously consider buying a home? I mean, some people struggle with credit scores below 700, and what difference does a credit score make when it comes to interest rates?
Okay, well, in terms of what credit score is, that's going to be something that lenders eventually will tell you, because each lender has programs to assist people in different ways, and some with lower credit scores and others that target people with higher credit scores. Just so as a reference, the HPAP program requires a minimum credit score of 600. Okay. And so people understand that if they want to get that down payment assistance through the city, they have to have at least that 600 credit score. Many lenders are looking for credit scores for most of their programs, starting around 620 or more. And
that seems awfully low.
Well, lenders are working with some of the government-backed programs that allow for those lower scores, like FHA and what have you. So those are some of the things. If they're looking at conventional loans, then you're looking at scores of 700 or higher. And so it depends on the type of loan that the lender is trying to help you get. And then even with lower scores, sometimes they'll work with you and say, okay, well, your score may be a bit lower, so we're going to ask you to pay a bit more in a form of a down payment. So it can be in a seesaw type of fashion. If you have a lower credit score, your down payment requirement might be higher. If you have a higher credit score, then your down payment might be lower. And so there is some flexibility there.
You were nodding your head.
Well, yeah, I was nodding. He's exactly right. But in terms of the interest rate you asked about, sometimes you can buy down the interest rate. So, again, that's why it's important to save. So if you can't afford a house at an interest rate of 6%, you can also buy down points sometimes to make sure your permanent interest rate is 5% or 4%. So that's why it's important to have additional savings.
When you were talking about assistance from the city and HPAP, and correct me if I'm wrong, but certainly that may be for residents who are interested in buying a home who may be at a certain income rate. Is that correct? Or is that for anyone who lives in the District of Columbia? I mean, say you are not, at
at a certain lower income rate.
Well, HPAP is really focused on low and moderate income buyers. I think that it goes up to maybe 100% AMI or 80% AMI. Like, so it's not for anyone.
So, but there are so many anyones here in the district who can't afford to buy a house.
Yeah.
What assistance might the district offer for people who have good jobs, but of course they are still struggling with the cost of living here, the cost of housing, those who may already own a home and may want to get into a better home? Are there any programs or is there any assistance whatsoever?
There's not that I'm aware of with that, honestly. And I think the lenders would have more programs that are focused on that demographic, or if you're, say, buying from Ryan Homes or something like that, they'll have a program that'll help with down payment assistance and additional closing cost assistance that will help. But the district really focuses on sort of the affordable housing for low and moderate income individuals.
I'm sorry, I will say, to their credit, DHCD does have an inventory that they make available through programs like the Inclusionary Zoning Program.
And what does that mean?
That's the one that one of the callers, I think, was alluding to when talking about housing being set aside by developers. But it is going to target the below 80% MFI that the director was talking about. But it is, the housing itself is priced below market rate. And so it does benefit someone to go to the website that she referenced earlier, dchousingsearch.org. You can take a look at that inventory of inclusionary zoning housing and see what the prices are. Mm-hmm. They're going to be below the market rate, and it might be something that some of your listeners will be able to afford.
Yeah, usually with new developments, there's a requirement for inclusionary zoning, so they're required to set aside some of the units for 80% and below. But again, that doesn't go from 80% and above, right? So that group that you were talking about.
What about, and again, and this may be, you know, applicable, because I do remember years ago there was a discussion about stacking some of the, you know, programs, combining them, you know, with what may be available in your particular municipality, with if you are a veteran, perhaps if you are a teacher, if you are a police officer, if you are a firefighter. Are there any programs like that in the district that
sometimes you can combine district employee programs along with HPAP program? So there is some sort of stacking like that.
Yeah, within the HPAP program,
right.
They have money targeted for first responders. They have money targeted for DC government employees. And so I would encourage people to attend a pre-purchase orientation at any of the community-based organizations. My organization holds them once a week. And during the pre-purchase orientation, we do talk about all of those programs where a person could stack HPAP on top of another program we call EHAP, which is for D.C. government employees.
Now explain that.
Yeah, the Employer Assisted Housing Program. It's a branch of the HPAP program just for district government employees. And some employees are eligible on the first day of hire. Others, depending on what positions they hold, have to be within good standing for at least 1 year. Mm-hmm. And so, but that's just for D.C. government employees. We're always asked by federal employees if they could take advantage of it. But unfortunately, no, it's just for D.C. government.
And certainly that would be helpful, you know, particularly in the context of this conversation. And so, for example, I would imagine if you are a D.C. veteran, if you live in the district and you are a military veteran, obviously there may be programs that may be available to you just because you are a veteran, not a veteran that happens to be living in D.C., but a military veteran, and that in addition to, depending on your qualifications, you may qualify for HPAP.
Right.
Well, it doesn't specify veteran. I just want to be clear about
that. No, I'm saying, but
if there's a veteran program,
there are veteran programs.
Yeah.
I mean, you could you could be living in Los Angeles and be a veteran, certainly. Mm-hmm. But, and those are kind of, you know, federal programs. And so, and if not, could you, can you use HPAP with an FHA loan or?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now explain the FHA loan for the newcomers.
Okay. Well, the FHA loan is, it's backed by the Federal Housing Administration. And what they do is they make loans available to people that will have kind of the easier requirements. As we mentioned before, in terms of the credit score, they're ones who support people with credit scores of 620 or higher. So the federal government's kind of taking on that additional risk that this person may falter on their loan. In addition, they do have a requirement, or not a requirement, I should say, but they contribute, they do ask, yeah, it is a requirement, that you have a 3.5% down payment, okay, towards that FHA loan. Whereas some loan will require, like a conventional loan will require 5% in most cases. And so it does make it a little easier to get into a home. It is very popular amongst first-time home buyers across the country, and it is often used in conjunction with HPAP, where a person would have that loan to make their purchase in addition to the HPAP funds, which would provide the down payment portion. And so they can use those two together. Now, another alternative locally is through the D.C. Housing Finance Agency. They have a program called D.C. Open Doors, which provides money for purchasing. And then you could, you know, piggyback that with some down payment assistance, and that can help a person out as well. And one thing that makes that appealing is they do market it as having favorable interest rates. Mm-hmm. And so in this time when everybody's shopping interest rates, it's worth taking the time to go ahead and look at that option.
Considering, you know, all of the complexities of trying to buy a home right now, one of the things that, you know, that I think that the previous caller, you know, said, you know, when you have to really kind of look and try to figure out, you know, how you're going to do this. I know you said, you know, take that your own personal ledger. But sometimes it's easier to get into a house than it is to stay in mm-hmm. the house, because one of the things that a lot of people do not consider is how much it's going to cost to heat and cool and
internet, phone,
all of that.
Landscaping.
Housekeeper. And you know,
mowing
yes,
your,
your children. talk to me a little bit about that, Colleen, because I think that, you know, programs notwithstanding, I think that's some good common sense information and advice that people need to really pay attention to.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I think because when you go from being a renter to a homeowner, there's a lot that is taken care of by your property manager and your landlord, right? So you are your own landlord when you own a home. So everything that would be taken care of, repairs, maintenance, painting, plumbing, anything that breaks down is now on you. So you need to have that ability to make sure you're able to repair and maintain your home in every sense of the word. You got to clean your own gutters. You got to wash your own windows. You got to do all of that. So whether you can do it yourself or you're going to get someone else to come in and do it. So I was saying landscaping, but I may not want to mow my own lawn. It may be too heavy, right? So, or when you have to have snow removal, no one's going to remove your snow. You're going to have to move your snow. So you're going to have to buy shovels, all these things that are required of home maintenance that you didn't think of when you were a renter. Now it's on you.
Ron, I'll let you have the last word for people who are trying to get into the homeownership game in D.C.
Well, I would say, once again, I want to go back to a word that was used earlier in our conversation, and that is preparation. Be prepared. Take the time to do some research online about what it takes to become a successful homeowner. Talk to counseling agencies. You know, it's a free opportunity to take advantage of and learn as much as you can. Free classes and things like that. And talk to friends and neighbors who have purchased before. They're a valuable resource. And listen to the war stories that they have with regard to, you know, whether it's maintaining their home or getting into the home in the first place. You know, listen to that, learn from it. Don't just focus on what we like to watch on TV and, you know, all of the nice home shows and all that good stuff. Also, take that realistic view and learn as much as you can and be patient. Yeah, it takes a bit of patience along the way.
Yes, indeed. Colleen Green, Ronald Clarkson, thanks for talking to us. I appreciate your time. And for those of you who are looking to buy a house, happy hunting. Good luck to you. That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, June 27th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.